Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Beers with Chad. I'm just back from a four-day golf trip to Pebble Beach. And, you know, as I look back, golf has always kind of been a part of my life. As a kid, you know, I'd play golf with my dad, took like, you know, a handful of lessons, maybe five, six lessons, and I'd go and play with him, and he was really into it, and would, you know, we would get like a super twilight times when I'm in middle, you know, junior high, maybe fifth, sixth, seventh grade kind of range, and go play with one of my friends and his dad, play 9 or 12 or however many holes we could before it got too dark at the local courses. And my grandparents were always super into golf. Like my grandma had like 3 hole-in-ones. That was a thing that we would do with them if they came out and visited from Minnesota. And, you know, when I was a kid, we would always go to eat at this restaurant called Strawberry Farms, or a golf course rather called Strawberry Farms. They had a nice little restaurant. It was around the corner from our house, maybe, you know, 4 or 5 minutes away. My parents would call that our country club. It's a nice course, but not a country club and not private. But golf had always kind of been a part of my life because of that. And then, you know, we talked about my older brothers and I talked about wanting to do a Pebble Beach trip with my dad. But, you know, between the financial aspect of it, in the time that we were going to do it, I wouldn't have been able to really contribute to that very much. So from the financial aspect of it, and then my brother's busy work schedule and, you know, their kids and stuff. And then as my dad got more and more sick and he passed away in 2022, that was something that never really worked out. So, you know, getting to be up there and play golf and everything these last couple days, it's definitely a time that I got to think about him a lot and reflect on him. You know, because I know that would have been something really special to him. And I think I remember I know I'd been there once with him, like we had lunch. Maybe we were driving up to Berkeley when my brother went to school there as well as I did. But maybe when we were driving up there one time, we took the long way, Coast Highway way, and had lunch up there. And one of the restaurants is overlooking the 18th green. More about that later. and just kind of watch the golfers come through and talk about that. And whenever, you know, we'd be eating at Strawberry Farms, it's overlooking the driving range. And my dad, he's always, oh, watch this guy swing. Oh, that guy's in a bad swing. You know, this guy's really good. So that was cool. So I played some when I was a little kid and in high school here or there, you know, maybe averaging once every 2 months or something in high school and college. But then, you know, post-college, once I'd started Juggernaut and started powerlifting and everything, you know, we're really busy working 70, 80 hours a week early on in Juggernaut. So not a lot of time to golf there. We were broke, so not a lot of money to golf. And as I kept getting bigger and stronger, body didn't work right really to golf that well for a while. So I went from starting Juggernaut in 2009 to I'd say about 2019. In that 10-year span, maybe golfed 3 or 4 times, and you know was nearly a different person physically on the other side of that from back injuries and just being bigger and heavier and, you know, less athletic, frankly. But in 2019, I was like talking to my buddy, Paul, who, you know, he plays a lot, and golf came up and I was like, you know, I'd like to get back out there and play golf again. So he asked me, he's like, what clubs are you even playing right now? And I'd never had real golf clubs, and since I never bought a set of golf clubs or had a new set of golf clubs given to me, I was always playing my dad's hand-me-downs. And even, you know, playing in high school, or college with my dad's hand-me-downs. Mind you, in high school and college, I was somewhere between, depending on what part of high school, let's call it from junior year of high school on to through college, I was somewhere between 250 and 295 pounds. I was extremely explosive, like two-hand dunking a medicine ball type of explosive. And it would have never crossed my mind of like, well, swing speed and the shaft stiffness, and all that kind of stuff. But I was swinging golf clubs that were extremely inappropriate for my body and physical skill set. So I show Paul the pair or the set of clubs that I had, and it was my dad's hand-me-downs that were something fire sticks. I can't even remember the brand, but we're old enough that when we tried Googling them, information was very limited. And he pretty much looks at them and looks at me and he's like, one swing, these things are going to turn to dust, And so I figured, all right, if I'm going to go play and get back into it, doing a little bit better in a career at that point. So I go and buy myself a new set of clubs. And since then, middle of 2019, I've started playing a lot more, taking lessons. Marissa had gotten me lessons for Christmas, joined a country club, all kind of stuff. And now, we're going on 4-day golf trips to Pebble Beach. So I really, really enjoy it. It's such a unique and endless challenge, where powerlifting and strongman is extremely challenging and physically demanding. It's always pretty much the same. It's a bar with plates on it, and you're gonna bend your knees and stand up one time, and you're just trying to refine that. And shot putting was the same way. It was dialing this one perfect technique in, and that alone, and just trying to execute that as well as possible. But ring might be a little different surface feel to it, and weather might be a bit different, but pretty much the same thing. But the challenges that I've taken on more recently, jujitsu and golf, are so much more dynamic in that they're always changing. Jujitsu, the positions, the opponent, changes all the time, and it's changing very quickly right in front of you, where golf is very cerebral, that you get to think a lot about, maybe too much about what you're doing, but it's always different. Even the 4 days we just played, it's different courses, it's different kinds of grass, it's different weather, it's different wind, it's different moisture, you hit it to a different place. And it presents this obsessive, unending challenge of how can I do this better? And even though it seems like a lot of times it's never really getting better, it gives you enough glimpses that it might be. So you just keep coming back for more, like a complete fool. So this trip, I just wanted to kind of recap this very special experience up there. But before we get to that, make sure to check out our sponsor. You may have heard of them if you're familiar with me, the Juggernaut AI app, which brings you totally customized strength training, adapted for you, individualized for you, keeps growing and adapting to your needs and feedback. Just released a new update, so you can go get that version 1.8 in there. A bunch of new features to be had, so thank you so much to Tim and the rest of our development team for getting that done. And you can use code BEERS to save on your subscription at juggernautai.app. Beyond that, welcome, subscribe, rate, review. This is a podcast about the stuff I like, and in this cup is coffee, because the other thing about a 4-day golf trip to Pebble Beach with your buddies and 300 other country club golfers is that there was a shitload of drinking, and that's the last thing that I need to be doing again today. So, to my iced coffee cup in here, to you fine folks out there, cheers.
with Chad.
So Tuesday morning, me, my buddy Sal, is an attorney, works with my best friend Paul, also an attorney. The three of us are playing on a team in this Cobra Puma Pro-Am, playing on a team with our club pro from Mesa Verde, Mike Fergan. So Sal and I fly up on Tuesday morning, and Sal had played there several times. You know, each course maybe 3 to 6 times of the three that we're playing. And it was new to me. I had stayed there, Marissa and I stayed there for maybe 2 nights at Spanish Bay last year, and I played a little par 3 course they have called the Hay. And I'd had lunch at Pebble a couple times. Marissa and I had driven up when we were staying at Big Sur before. We'd stayed in an Airbnb off 17 Mile back in like 2016 or 17 over Valentine's Day weekend. And I didn't realize at the time, because I wasn't really following golf or playing, that weekend that we were there, because we had done a lifting seminar up in Santa Cruz and drove down to Pebble Beach, that it was Pebble Beach Pro-Am weekend. So the place was packed, though we did get extremely lucky. You know, I was like, well, we're here, we gotta just go down there, try and go down there for dinner. And about a 2.5 hour wait at a restaurant there called The Bench, but it has some first come, first serve seating area around these fire pits. And after we were standing there for about 2 minutes, 2 people stood up. We kind of looked at each other like, this can't be such miraculous timing, but we had a beautiful evening and dinner there. But this is going to be my first golf experience. So I'm telling Sal, I was like, the only thing I want out of this weekend, you know, besides having fun with my buddies and all that, is even if I play shitty, which there's always a strong possibility of that, I'm a 12.2 index going into this trip, maybe a little bit higher coming out of it, but I tell Sal, all I want is a moment of greatness on an iconic Pebble Beach hole. Is that too much to ask? You know, whether that's the kind of most famous stretch there is 6, 7, and 8, and number 18. Those are the ones you see on highlights and just famous golf moments. Number 7, real short downhill par 3 out onto a little peninsula, and the Pacific Ocean in the background. You can hear Jim Nance's voice in your ear as you line up. And all I wanted was just a moment at one of those. So we're staying at Spanish Bay, which is part of Pebble Beach Resort's properties. It's, you know, Google images it, because it's an incredible place. So you're on the Monterey Peninsula, and the 17 mile drive is a road, 17 miles long, I believe, that is through like redwood and cypress forests onto these rocky, you know, very just dramatic coastline of Central California. And yeah, I've lived in Southern California basically my whole life, and we have great beaches here. But as you drive north along the coast in California, you go through these places like Big Sur, Carmel, Monterey, Santa Cruz, that it's rocks and, you know, rock formations out in the water and these cliffs, and it's just extremely dramatic looking, and it's so interesting, these windswept cypress trees, and it's really gorgeous. You know, so that first night, we're sitting there, dusk, sun setting over the water. There's a bagpiper that comes and plays at Spanish Bay, which is this rolling hills, Lynx style course, and you feel like you're in, you know, Scotland or Ireland. And, you know, out there drinking Basil Hayden's while this is happening. And, you know, it was very easy to say at that moment, life is good. And it is good. And that was a great moment and something that I was, you know, will cherish. So the first day we're playing at Spanish Bay and it's a cold, rainy morning. That's the one thing about that area, as beautiful as it is. I guess it would be unfair if they had the most beautiful scenery and the best weather to go along with it. But, you know, middle of February, not uncommon that it's going to be rainy up there, fairly cold, windy, but it all, you know, adds to the drama. So it's this kind of drizzly morning and we're out on the putting green, chipping green, and the Spanish Bay doesn't have a driving range. We could have taken a shuttle to one of the other courses and used their driving range to warm up, but Paul, Sal, and I did not. We enjoyed our breakfast and then, you know, got out for some warm up before getting this first round started. And the guy we're playing with, Mike Fergan, great golfer, professional golfer, PGA pro, teaching pro at Mesa Verde. He's played in tour events and really, really excellent golfer. And golf is his job and he takes that job seriously. And I understand and respect that, but he was a little rattled when he found out that we were not, that we had not warmed up that day. After our tee shots, he's like, "Is that your first driver swing of the day?" It's like, yeah, you know, we were chipping and putting, but no driving range. And he just looks, he's like, "You're fucking killing me." Because it is a tournament, competitive tournament that we're playing in. But mind you, I was in the fairway and Mike was in the bunker off the first tee. So, you know, who's killing who in that situation? As we're waiting to tee off on this first hole at Spanish Bay, we get our caddy for the day. And our caddy is a gentleman named Bogey, nicknamed. I'm assuming that was not his given name. And I don't, you know, it seemed like kind of a bad omen to have a caddy named Bogey for this round. And Bogey was a character. Bogey definitely was ordered at least one screwdriver when we were on the course. You know, ripping darts. Character, yeah, because he was on the job there. So that first day was just this rainy for the first couple holes, beautiful and sunny for the middle, you know, 8 or 9 holes. And then as we kind of got back out of the forest, back towards the ocean for the last few holes, it was really windy, like 10 to 20 mile an hour sustained winds, 30 plus gusts, which, you know, made golf interesting. And Bogey, there was definitely a moment where I thought that Mike was going to fight Bogey. Third hole, you know, it was kind of dog leg left and sort of hard to see from the tee box what's going on with the hole. And we're looking at the course maps and everything. But Bogey asked me, you know, what, he's like, "You could play this anywhere between 170 and 250. He's like, "So what do you feel most comfortable hitting?" And I said, "Well, I hit driver off the tee most often. Like, that's what I feel the most confident with." And he's like, "All right, hit driver." And as I pull the driver from the bag and Mike's, "What, whoa, 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 what are you doing? What are you doing? Do not hit driver. You just gotta put it in play." And I was like, he told me that I could hit driver. Like, what, you know? And so I line up and kind of got Bogey in one ear and Mike in the other, maybe a devil and an angel on the shoulders there. And he tells me, he's like, "You know, aim at the left side of the beach house off in the distance," which I intended to do. It started at the left side of the beach house, maybe even a bit more left, and then curved right. Some may call it a slice. I like to call it a power fade. Well, really, if you plan for it to happen, it's a fade. If you didn't, it's a slice. So it was a slice, and it was out of bounds. Because this, the rough there, between the having it ready for the tournament play two, three weeks ago, you know, where they're letting the stuff grow long anyways to make it hard for the guys who need it to be hard, and then it being so rainy the last couple weeks up there, they haven't been able to cut it at all. It was really long. Like 6 to 8 inches long, kind of rough. And yeah, so I lost it. And I think pretty shortly after that, Mike was ready to fight Bogey for giving me that advice. But the first day, I think I shot a 93. Had a couple good moments, but more bad ones. It was a tough course, and it kicked my butt. But next day, day two, we're at Spyglass Hill, and this the way that this tournament is it's 3 days, Spanish Bay, Spyglass Hill, Pebble Beach. Other teams win in different orders, and then the top third of the teams were supposed to play a fourth round at Pebble Beach, middle third at Spyglass, bottom third at Spanish Bay. So Spyglass Hill, you know, they play that as part of the AT&T, the PGA tournament that they have there. And it's got a couple holes down by the water and mostly kind of through the forest. And to me, standing on it and having watched, you know, the Masters on TV, it has similar feel to that. Tree lined both sides, hilly, but really beautiful place. And I had been playing PGA 2K, 2K23, to get ready for this, because they have Pebble and they have Spyglass on there, and Spanish Bay, actually, but more Pebble and Spyglass as like official courses on there. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna change it to the tees that we are gonna be playing, a little bit more forward than the pro tees, which would be like the normal setting on the game. And I can't, real version of me can't hit it quite as far as avatar version of me in the game, though we do look very similar. I've got a good bald avatar on there. But I'd been playing it over and over and over. I had notes on my phone about like, okay, this seems like the best place to hit it on this hole, all this stuff. So I was trying to ready myself, because I was the worst golfer, the highest handicap in our group. I'm, like I said, a 12, mid-12s. Paul and Sal are both in the 7.5 to 8 range, and then Mike is a plus handicap, a better than scratch golfer. So I know I can't be letting the team down. So I know in the first hole at Spyglass Hill, it's this big downhill dogleg left, and if you can carry it 250 or 260 on a draw, you can catch the hill and maybe get it, going out to 290, 300. If it's a little bit drier conditions and firmer fairway than what we were dealing with from all the rain. But I've got this shot shape in my mind, and I'm on the driving range before we made sure to warm up this day, and I'm trying to hit high draw. And I'm just like, okay, I'm hitting some high draws here. I'm ready to make it happen. And get on number one, and and expectations versus reality, hit just a straight ball, maybe a little bit of right leaking into the rough, but I saw it beforehand. And Spyglass was a fun hard course, supposed to be the hardest of the three courses there. They had the fourth hole there as what they said was the smallest green in the world, about 6 yards wide by 66 yards long and undulating, and just kind of a crazy green. It was almost shaped like a bacon strip, with those curves and undulations to it. So I'm on that green, and I pin right in the middle of it, and I landed on the front, and our caddy, not Bogey this time, really good caddy, a guy named Nick, he tells me, it's like, from where you are, so you could hit it left and make it. You can hit it down the middle and make it. You could hit it right and make it. So I'm looking at this like 50-foot birdie putt, and we talk about the strategy, because if you go kind of past the midline of this hole where the green was, maybe 4 or 5 feet past where the hole was on this green, it's gonna roll 20 yards farther. So, a bit of a touchy, scary putt. So we decide on the strategy, and I hit it left. And for this 50-foot putt, he's like, maybe you need to actually hit it like it's about 9 feet. So less than 20% of the way. So I hit this little soft putt up a little hill, way left of the hole. And it comes down the hill over to the right of the green, and up another berm and down back towards the middle of the green. And it's like, oh my God, it's about to go in. It's about to go in. It's going to be the craziest putt ever. And ended up missing the birdie putt, you know, about that far off the edge, but made the par. So, yeah, just a crazy setup course and really tough. And if we didn't have a caddy, I, for one, would have been screwed. But that putt, I'm feeling confident. You know, I'd made had a birdie putt lip out on the hole before as well. I was like, all right, here we go. Get to number six, all uphill par four. Great drive, great approach shot. Your boy drains the birdie putt, maybe like 6 footer for birdie, puts it in. Only guy make birdie on the hole. You know, Mike made a par. I think the other guys were bogeys. And I'm thinking, all right, here we go. This is your day, Chad. You're about to have the best round of your life at Spyglass Hill, the hardest course around at Pebble Beach. Then the next hole, par five, feeling it, surging with confidence. Cold top it off the tee, make an eight. Hurts. Couple holes go by, kind of get back on track. All right, playing a bit better. Number 11, birdie. You're back on track, back to the best round of your life. Next hole, hit it in the water. Make a triple. So that was a bit of a theme of the week, is I would do something good and then disaster would strike. Which I'm not quite sure how to sort that out, but I'm working on it. Today's episode of Beers with Chad is brought to you by the Juggernaut AI app. If you are looking to get totally customized, individualized, adaptive powerlifting and strength training for you, the smartest program for you. Today's episode of Beers with Chad is brought to you by the Juggernaut AI app. If you want the smartest program for you, fully customized, adapts to your feedback, grows as you grow as a lifter, visit juggernautai.app and use code BEERS to save on your monthly subscription. Finally, day three, we're at Pebble Beach finally for our third round. Standing on the first tee on one of the most famous courses in the world. I've got my group, our caddy, another caddy for this day. Another group from our club is behind us, so they're waiting there for us to tee off. Staff from the tournament is there on the first tee. Other golfers, you know, it's kind of in the middle of the main Pebble Beach area. There are people around. Feeling nerves. Feeling a lot of nervousness. But had a great drive. I was like, all right. Maybe this is your day. And hit it close, almost make a birdie. You know, but all I'm wanting on this day at Pebble Beach is my moment. One moment, like I told Sal, getting off the plane at one of these iconic holes. And those are 6, 7, 8, and 18. I'd say the most famous ones there. So I'm playing well at the start. Par, par, par to start. Two very good looks at birdie. The thoughts begin to enter my mind again. This, not yesterday at Spyglass, where you made birdies and then fucked it up. But today, at Pebble Beach, when your team needs you the most. Buddy Paul was sick. Unfortunately, he got the flu on the trip, so he was playing, you know, very under the weather that day at Pebble Beach. Sal wasn't starting off too hot. So with my par, par, par start, it's like, all right, it's you and Mike. Put the team on your back. This is the time. And we get to number six, and I'm feeling confident because I'm playing well so far. And I hit a great drive. And then I hit the second ball into the ocean. Then we get to number seven, the most famous hole in all of golf. And I watch Sal hit the green. And I watch Paul hit the green. And I see Mike hit the green. And then I put it in the bunker left. But I don't mind the sand. Marissa thinks that's where I do my best work. She's like, that's those tricky ones out of the sand. You're good at those. I always appreciate the votes of confidence from her. But I have those words from Marissa in my mind. As I see my three friends on the green, I'm lonely in the sand. But I think, hey, maybe just make it. And I hit a nice little real open-faced, you know, shot out of the sand. Hits, lands soft, rolls, hits the pin, bounces out. Almost had my moment. Number eight. So we've got the ocean along our right, this whole part. Number eight, you're hitting the tee shot essentially onto one cliff area and then a bunch of space in between, a bunch of cliffs, falling off a cliff. If you saw Jordan Spieth a couple of years ago, almost at the edge of that cliff hitting one of his shots, I hit a solid tee shot, hit an approach right to the front of the green. Here we go. Have a very long, but crazier things have happened, birdie putt. Three putt, of course. The round goes on, hit some good shots, hit some bad shots, you know, as golf for amateur golfers goes. Number 17, another very famous hole, little par three, going out to the water. Key, you know, clutch moments of the tournament are going to be happening at that point in the round. I'm the only one who hits the green that time, but missed the birdie putt, but make a par, so it's fine. And now we're at number 18. I know this is my last chance to have my moment at Pebble Beach. At the end of 18, there's a restaurant that Marissa and I had eaten at before, the bench that my dad and I had sat at and watched these golfers come in and judge them as they do, judge the shots they're hitting. And I'm thinking 18 at Pebble Beach, this is your time. It's par five, the bay on the left, hazard bunkers all along the left side, this one tree out in the middle of the fairway. When we were on the driving range that morning warming up, I'm seeing a flag out there. I say to Sal, I was like, that blue flag, that's the tree on 18 at Pebble Beach. So I'm going to hit it about 10 feet to the left of it, past that. Boom, do it. Boom, do it again. Boom, do it again. Feeling it. It's like, I'm seeing it. I'm going to make it happen. We get there. I see that tree out there. I think to the driving range, that's just the blue flag, just like you did it there. And pumps it down the fairway about 10 feet to the left of that tree and about 25 yards past it. The best drive that I'd hit the whole day. This is it. You're having your moment. I'm walking down the fairway, brimming with confidence, excitement. I then proceeded to top a 6-iron with the layup shot, trying to play it smart. And then I proceeded to top that 6-iron once again, and then chunked a chip and ended up making a 7. The people sitting at that restaurant on the patio, watching the golfers come in all day, judging them, because what else would you be doing? They wouldn't have been able to see that tee shot. That would be too far away. But what they could see were all those chunked 6-irons, all those top 6-irons and chunk pitch and chip shots, and shame and anguish on my face. I thought about diving headfirst into Monterey Bay, possibly wishing that the rocks below did what they do. Maybe, you know, there's a lot of great white sharks up there. That's how I was feeling at that moment. So it really makes me think sometimes, what's wrong with me? Why do I hit these great shots and then crumble after that? I've competed in a ton of stuff, you know, national and international level in track, international level for powerlifting, you know, professional strongman, made the podium at you know, world level competitions for jiu-jitsu. But this little white ball and this little stick that you hit it with, sometimes I feel like it just crumples my mind. I'm not standing over the ball feeling that nervous, but you know, things must be getting a little bit tight. So we end up not making Pebble Beach for the last round, which we looked like there was 50 teams in the tournament. So we need to be in the top third, which you know would be 16 or 17. And it appeared that we were tied for 17th, but we did not make it. Though there was some confusion and a little bit of lack of clarity on that. So we play Spyglass again. We're thinking the whole day, it's gonna pour rain. It looks like it was gonna be raining from 6 a.m. on that day. Paul's out with the flu. We're kind of just waiting for this torrential downpour, which ends up not coming until 18. And I play, for sure, my best round of the week. Shot an 88 there at Spyglass. Made one birdie in the last round. Got vengeance on my two worst holes from the Spyglass round earlier in the week. The hole that I made an 8 on after the birdie, I made a birdie on. And then there was another par 5 later on after I made my second birdie of the Thursday round that I made a 9 on. I hit it in the water twice into a lake at the greenside. And I had about a 6-footer for birdie on that hole, missed it, but ended up making a par. So I felt vindicated. I once again felt like you, Chad Wesley Smith, are right there to becoming a good golfer. Good in the relative sense, not like a good professional golfer, but like a guy who, when you're going to golf and your friends ask, hey, how's this guy? Is he a good player? You'd be like, oh yeah, he's good. That's all I want out of golf. I know I'm not gonna be great at it, but played pretty good. Five legitimate birdie looks yesterday in yesterday's round. Was pumping driver all day, hitting draws on command, high draw, low draw, hitting fades. That's not a slice, but they're on purpose. Shaping my shots, only hit one bad drive all day. That was on number 17. That was really because I had to pee so bad, and there's all these beautiful houses there, and I didn't want to pee in some $10 million mansion's front yard. So I was kind of like doing the piss my pants dance, standing on the 17th tee box and just hit a terrible shot, and then snuck off in the woods, relieved myself, and on 18 was back to hitting fantastic driver as the rain really started to come down on 18. But that was my trip. I apologize for the shot by shot recap of it, but golf is such an interesting character revealing mental strength, mental fortitude, creating, destroying, revealing game. And I really enjoy it, and really enjoyed this time with my friends. If you get the opportunity to go up there, obviously go there, do it. You know, if you don't play golf, just go up there and go on hikes and look at it because it's beautiful. If you don't have that opportunity, go and play, go and do stuff that you love with the people that you love, because that's always going to be a good way to do things. So this was Beers with Chad. Next week, I'll be back. Going to talk. We've got some interviews coming up, UFC, some different MMA fighters, all kind of stuff. So thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Please subscribe, rate, and review. And we'll see you next time. Cheers.